This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, coming to you from the Keswick Theater outside Philadelphia. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Art Chung, and now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, our contestant Courtney won her way to the final round at the end of the show. We'll find out a little later who she will face off against. But first, it's time to welcome our special guest. She's an actress, crafter, author, and rabbit educator. Please welcome Amy Sedaris.
Hi. Thanks for coming out.
Amy Sedaris, such a pleasure, and I have to say, I first knew you, of course, from Strangers with Candy, your role as Jerry Blank. It's a cult hit on Comedy Central in 1999. It was a satiric take on after-school specials. I mean, it was kind of way ahead of its time in terms of the humor level, and I'm just wondering, have you thought what it would be like if that series came out now?
Well, people, RuPaul recently, name drop, asked me that question. I don't know if it could be made now. I mean, you just can't make fun of anything anymore. But, that's what we did in Strangers. We hit everybody. We made fun of everybody. So maybe that's one reason we got away with it back then. And plus now, it just seems like everyone is kind of doing that kind of humor now. So it wouldn't really stand out as much. Or before, we were just in the woods doing a show, making each other laugh, not thinking we had an audience.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know we had an audience till we did Wigfield. And then we saw these ugly people in the audience, and we were like, oh my God, we have fans from Strangers with Candy. And I brag that we have an ugly audience, because that's the best audience to have.
Right, because there's no social media. You're not getting this immediate feedback. So this is what you went on tour for the book.
Right.
Yeah.
And
then all of a sudden all the fans come out and you were like, oh, you guys like the
show. Oh my God,
show.
Yeah. We had no idea. We had an audience at all. Because that was what we liked about it at Comedy Central. Like, they gave us a horrible time slot and nobody was ever around. And we really were in the woods doing that show. But it was kind of fun because then the people that saw it back then, we felt like they discovered it. It's kind of fun when you discover a show and it's just not like, people are just racking over your head saying, watch the show.
Well, and also that you hit an audience that is dying for this particular thing, right? The fans weren't just like, we like it. They were like, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, that was fun.
But you have a new show that you're working on for True TV.
I do.
That is about entertaining and hostessing?
It's going to be my version of my homemaking show based on my books, I Like You and Simple Times. So it'll be a little cooking and crafting and decorating.
Are there guests?
I'll have maybe actors playing guests, like a termite inspector or a fishmonger, people like that coming into my home. Whenever I watch those shows, like I watch Martha Stewart or I watch a show like that, or like Bob Ross, I watched Bob Ross recently and I just love the feeling. I felt hypnotized and by the end of it, I really felt like, wow, I want to capture that feeling. But once you start writing a show like that, you get bored real quick. Like you're like, oh my God, you can't mix comedy and real in a way. It's like you want one or the other.
Right.
So I'm learning that right now. Because every time I'm like, no, I want to do it for real. I want to teach you how to make a real cream sauce. It's like snooze-a-roos. It's like there are enough people that can really teach you that.
Right.
Now I'm thinking maybe I should go for the laughs. So you're not really going to learn anything, but that's what I want you to do. Learn what not to do.
You are an excellent rabbit mother.
Yes.
The name of your rabbit pet?
Tina.
Tina. How's Tina doing?
Tina's up to 7 pounds, and she's chewing me out of house and hold. I've never had a rabbit that's chewed this much. I gave her way too much freedom too soon. And you can't really discipline a rabbit, so there's nothing I can do about it except lock her up at night. But Paul Dinello came over the other day, and he had a satchel with a leather strap. Gone. Now I have to track down the company. He's like, you gotta replace this strap. I'm like, okay. Yeah, she chews everything. I don't,
But you were just saying you can't discipline them because you're an educator with the House Rabbit Society.
I have a badge.
You have a badge?
Yeah, I have a badge. Okay, and I use it.
Is it in
any excuse to get into anyone's home, I'm there. I forget about the rabbit. I'm like looking at their artwork, going, you need to go out and get these clippers, and meanwhile I ransack their house. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Is the badge, does it look like a...
It's laminated.
That makes it official. And what is a common mistake people make with their house rabbits?
Well, you shouldn't give them the entire apartment because it's really not safe for them jumping on up and off the bed, or, you know, they could really easily hurt themselves. So, you know, I should have her in a hutch of some sort in my apartment. And they don't know what to feed them, and they expect rabbits to be cuddly and, you know, fun like a puppy or a kitten. And they're just not really like that. You just kind of stare at them stoned, and then you're like, you just can't believe all of a sudden they'll hop and skip and jump and twirl, and you're like, and you think, it's like in a movie, in a cartoon, when you see the plant move across the thing, you're like, did I just see that happen? So it's more like just fascinating to watch. Watch them clean themselves and watch them chew expensive chairs and, you know, that's what they're for.
So it's a participant observational relationship more than,
like, you stay there, I stay here. We work.
You were also, I remember I really wanted to take advantage of this when I first moved to New York, that you ran a cheese ball and cupcake business out of your apartment.
Yes. But allowance money. That's what that was for. Allowance money. Yes.
But it ended.
It did, because A, everyone started doing cupcakes, and B, I got a cockroach and mouse problem pretty quickly. And I just decided to put it to rest. So I stopped that. So now I just sell lighters and pot holders. But the pot holder kit that I used decided to change their colors and the quantity of pot holder loops you could get. Oh, I could go on forever about the pot holder company. You know, they're like, you can get bigger ones. Who wants a large pot holder? You know, anyway, I get so mad when I think about it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll get over it. Hold on. And then I sell catnip toys. I have a fabric line. It's not successful, but I have a fabric line. I know my money manager is like, okay, here's a big $4 you got for 8 months of sales. And it's me ordering the fabric. I get online and I order my own fabric. The Lower East Side Girls Club makes the catnip toys for me. I supply the weed and the fabric, and they make them for me.
I just want to clarify one thing when you said you sell lighters.
I sell lighters. My godson, you know, he likes Dum Dum lollipops. So I gave him like his fifth one, and he handed me the stick back, and I was putting it on my counter where there was a lighter, and I was like, ping, ping, Dum Dum lighters. So I cover my lighters with a Dum Dum wrapper, and on the wrapper it says, save wrap to make fun stuff. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm so proud of myself for coming up. I haven't had a new idea in so long. So I'm very busy.
Yeah, how many lighters are you...
I can't even believe I had time to make it here tonight. So.
You know, these lighters sound kind of amazing. Everyone needs a lighter.
Everyone. I gave it to a 13-year-old, and the mother's like, no, I said, you know, she can light incense or a, you know, votive candle for some dead person. You know what I mean? It's like everybody needs a lighter. I mean, you learn that in Girl Scouts.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was very interested in that you hosted an art auction for the Super 8 Hotel chain.
Yeah.
Because they were getting rid of their art.
All their ugly art. And they asked me... I thought it would be fun because I had to rename it all. And it was really hard. Like, hard to think of something boring and vague. Our heads were hurting. I got a group of friends together and just to come up with a name. And we were like, everyone we named Early Menopause just because they had that color. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very good.
It was pretty funny.
So you wrote a book called Simple Times, Crafts for Poor People. And we have actually made... a guessing game for you about crafts.
Okay.
As you know, some crafters sell their work on websites like Etsy, and others take the art form to the next level, and their work is made it all the way to the Smithsonian American Art Museum.
Uh-huh. Woo.
So in this game, we are going to describe a craft, and you just have to tell us, is it something that you can buy on Etsy, or is it something that you would find in the Smithsonian?
Okay.
Very
That's
easy.
Fun. Okay.
Depending on how well you do, our listener, Callie Sargent, who lives in Virginia and is 12 years old, is going to win and ask me another Rubik's Cube.
Oh.
Okay, so this could change her life.
That sounds fun, a Rubik's Cube. I think she'd rather have a lighter, don't you?
All right, let's give it a shot.
Okay.
This piece is called Hairy Armpit Tee. The artist statement says this is a feminist work. It is a plain white T-shirt with simulated armpit hair made of black thread, hand-embroidered in the underarm areas. Etsy or Smithsonian?
It's Etsy.
It is Etsy.
Yeah, it's
correct.
Etsy. Oh, It's a good idea.
I like the idea of little pit wigs. Those must exist, right? A little pit wig. You've had some little wigs, small wigs.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of little wigs. I used to cover my doorknobs with them. It's a lot of hair to have in your apartment. In the summer, it sucks.
This piece is called Black and Gray Toaster. From afar, it looks like a purse, but upon closer inspection, it's actually a fake toaster made of black vinyl, copper wire, and thread. Etsy or Smithsonian?
What is it? You tell me, what is it? What is it? Smithsonian.
Yeah, that's correct. Smithsonian.
I totally cheated. Yeah, Smithsonian. He's definitely Smithsonian.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
This piece is called Batman 2. It's a knit Batman onesie sized for a 6-foot-tall adult. Etsy or Smithsonian?
Oh, it's Etsy.
No, it's Smithsonian.
No way!
Yeah, the piece is by Mark Newport, who knits intentionally sad-looking superhero costumes.
Wow.
Which is a kind of art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he seeing anybody? Okay.
This is your last clue. This piece is called Neutrophil Cross Stitch.
Okay.
It's a scientifically accurate cross-stitch diagram of a white blood cell. Smithsonian
okay,
or Etsy?
It. You're selling it to me, so I'm going to say Etsy.
Yeah, it's
okay,
on Etsy.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I got to say, I kind of want this. It's $19.99 on Etsy, and the description says it's perfect for lab techs, nurses, doctors, and vampires.
Check.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Puzzle Girl Archung, how did Amy do?
Congratulations, Amy. You and 12-year-old Callie Sargent have both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes.
Just an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank
Amy
you for
Sedaris,
having me.
Everybody.
Thank you so much.
Amy Sedaris.